Welcome to Session 7 of E281 from PDH Online, our course on practical plant energy reduction, audio version. We just finished talking about finding ultrasonic leaks in compressed air lines. Real straightforward, clean. The only problem is it's up in the air and you have to shoot it from the ground and figure out where you're pointing it and what you're getting. And you mark it and tell somebody to fix it. Let's do the same thing for steam. Steam plant may mean a lineup of natural gas or oil-fired package boilers, or a very large building with three or more coal-fired boilers. In addition, large steam piping, small steam piping, steam traps, and condensate return piping make up the steam distribution system. Sidebar, flue gas and blowdown wastewater discharges have been mentioned previously, but are huge waste heat sources. For over 100 years, waste heat in blowdown wastewater has been reclaimed, usually via heat exchangers, to preheat boiler makeup water. Though this system is already in place, the target operating point has shifted radically with the need for plant energy reduction. The first step is to check the discharge temperature of the blowdown wastewater stream. If it's above 100F, you have the opportunity for additional and massive energy savings. As noted above, this is heavily treated, toxic, and high dissolved solids fluid, requires care and handling. Boiler makeup is still a valid target for use of waste heat. Boiler makeup is heated from city water temp, about 50 degrees F, to nearly 300 F, using the low-level heat to take it from 50 to 100, and higher quality heat from 100 to 150 is good economy. Makeup is especially appropriate as the blowdown and makeup take place simultaneously. For 60 years at least, waste heat and flue gas has been recovered profitably. A limitation from taking heat from the flue gas has been the condensation of acid when the dew point is reached. Today we can and must accept this waste streams for EPA reasons along with energy reduction reasons. Capturing additional waste heat from the flue gas stream is a major utility process change. Use part of your study funds to contract with an engineering firm specializing in this area. We recommend Washington Group of URS to be considered. They are competent. There are a number of other competent groups out there. It may be possible to get a back of envelope savings and cost estimate with the promise of an upcoming design job. This may be a case where the importance of plant modification justifies a sole source contract without competitive bidding. Steam distribution is piping and connections between the boiler and machine, process machine, or heater. Smaller heaters may have external steam traps, which automatically open to let condensed steam, that is water, return to the feed water system. Sidebar, find and fix steam leaks. The first step is to buy an ultrasonic detector and have a maintenance person trained by the salesman to use it. Extremely logical and not burdensome. Plan on tracing every steam line in the plant. If steam maintenance is done by a different crew than compressed air maintenance, buy two detectors, one for each group. Repair insulation and add insulation on steam lines, traps, and condensate return lines. The first step is to buy a thermal detector and have a maintenance person learn how to use it by trial and error. A $50 gun with razor pointer will get you started. Have a quick scan of steam lines, traps, condensate lines done to get a sense of the surface temperatures and how much unused piping is hanging there. Second step is to meet with the maintenance manager and agree on a plan to repair and upgrade the insulation. If insulation was removed and not replaced to do maintenance on a valve, it doesn't make sense to repair it with two-inch insulation, then come back and put another 2-inch layer on top, or rip off the new 2-inch to install a new 4-inch insulation. The smart plan is to install 4-inch at removable locations such as valves, traps, and give the maintenance crew a chance to determine if the trap or valve is appropriate for immediate maintenance. Schedule coming back to add 2-inch or ripping off the old 2-inch and install 4-inch. This overview course cannot identify the correct type or thickness of insulation for your plant. The goal is to get the surface temperature on all lines down to less than 10 degrees F above ambient. What about thermal imaging? Thermal imaging is digital photos of equipment with false color to indicate ambient, high, and very high temperatures. It used to be done with fancy gadgets and Polaroid film. It's now done with fancy gadgets and low-resolution JPG files for computer viewing or color printing. The nicest gadgets give both normal view and thermal view. They are wonderful toys and essential for published studies. In addition to the $10,000 cost, you get a one-week training session. They provide no value beyond that of the thermal gun with laser targeting. Chilled water distribution. Chilled water distribution is piping and valving that connect the chillers to equipment. Such piping is insulated. As with steam piping, though, the target today for acceptable heat waste is less than when the original piping was installed. Sidebar: repair insulation and add insulation on chilled water lines and valving. First step is to buy a thermal detector and have a maintenance person learn how to use it by trial and error. $50 gun with laser pointer will get you started. If steam piping and chilled water piping are maintained by different crews, get two guns, one for each. Have a quick scan of chilled water lines and valving done to get a sense of the surface temperatures and how much unused piping is hanging there. Second step is to meet with the maintenance manager and agree on a plan to repair and upgrade the insulation. If insulation was removed and not replaced to do maintenance on a valve, it doesn't make sense to repair it with 2-inch insulation, then come back and put another 2-inch layer on top, or rip off the new 2-inch to install 4-inch. The smart plan is to install 4-inch at removable locations, such as valves, and give the maintenance crew a chance to determine if valve maintenance is appropriate at this time. Schedule coming back to add 2-inch or rip off the old 2-inch and install 4-inch on the lines. The overview course cannot identify the correct type or thickness of insulation for your plant. The goal is to get the surface temperature on all lines down to less than 10 degrees below ambient. Natural gas and liquids internal distribution. These are pipes and piping that carry electrical wires, natural gas, and various liquids around the plant. Limited energy savings are available for maintenance upgrade, and it's not going to get much attention here. Electric power distribution. Electric power distribution is the cabling, transformers, motor starters, and circuit breakers which get electricity to the equipment. Sidebar on power factor savings. People who like to sell power factor capacitors claim savings by reducing magnetizing currents on the plant distribution system. This works up to 95% power factor. Above 95%, there's a danger of creating a leading power factor, which is dangerous. The discussion of why the power factor is dangerous is beyond the scope of this course, but please remember the following numbers: 80% and 90-95%. 80% is usual for equipment that's getting no attention. 90% is the old style target. We used to say if you get up to 90, you've done the job. Now we're saying try to get it up to 95%, but be careful as you approach 95%. You may need automatic switching capacitors which will not go above 95 and give you this dangerous condition we're referencing. It's valuable to do spot checks on power factor using a clamp-on meter such as the AEMC-F09. Any place power factor measures below 90% during normal production, record the amps and check the sizing chart for a standard capacitor to bring it above 90% but below 95%. If the value is over 5 kVAR, talk to a salesman like Square D or General Electric or Siemens or any of the good guys out there about automatic switched capacitors. Automatic switched capacitors will not go above 95% and are not especially dangerous. It's desirable to place power factor capacitors as close as possible to the load, as at a large motor starter or motor control center. Capacitors do not coexist well with variable frequency drives. The installation of power factor capacitors reduces magnetizing currents to motors, thus reducing the total currents, line losses from incremental currents, and transformer losses from the incremental currents. Now, what's the implication here? It is a small savings. On the other hand, it's a real savings. Now, is it worth going after? Yeah, I mean, certainly as we go beyond the easy, quick fixes for the harder savings, this is a place to pick it up. And it may be a place to pick it up on the first pass generic savings. When you find 80% power factor, you want to do something to fix it. If you find it's already 90%, spending more money to fix it, you're going to spend a lot of money on it, and you're not going to get much to show for it. Now, yes, our premise as we started was that we're not trying to get a cost payback on the thing. But deep down inside, we want to get the easy savings first. And above 90% power factor is not easy savings. The motor capacitor table. I copied this from Square D because Square D has treated me well over the years, and I think you can be certain they'll treat you well also. Again, there are a number of other totally competent vendors in the field. This tells you nominal horsepower rating, nominal motor speed, and how much capacity you put on an old style motor. Well, you don't do any of this until you've looked at it and seen you don't have acceptable power factor now. Because as we've gone to higher efficiency motors, strange things have happened to the power factor. In some cases, the power factor has improved. In some cases, it's deteriorated. But what we're interested in is the real power factor and see how much capacitor you got to buy to bring it up to an acceptable level. And the Square D catalog page is referenced in the written version of the course. A new sidebar, demand savings fallacy. The electric bill reports metered demand in kilowatt. There is an associated monthly cost penalty for high demand. It appears reasonable to reduce the demand, highest single draw of electricity during the month, and reduce the demand penalty and overall energy cost. In fact, successful demand reduction saves more in energy, that is kWh, than in demand, kW. This is because the core concept of demand reduction is the identification of discretionary loads, things that can be turned off without process penalty. Once these are identified, turn them off. It doesn't matter what time of day it is or what day of the month. If they do not contribute to process value, they are waste. Production process and overheads. Production process and overheads are included in the energy balance because they are major portions of the plant operation. Any place where energy waste exists in the process, as heat treatment or idling equipment for long periods, and overheads such as packaging, materials transfers, and office space, it must be addressed and plans must be made for reduction and elimination. Now, this concludes the core material of the plant energy reduction course. I've included a summary at the end of it of everything I think that you could have picked up from the course, which may be all you want to really focus on. There was a lot of explanatory discussion and sidebars in the previous portion. This is the checklist. Item 1, establish a project scope as 5% electrical and natural gas reduction on a comparative month basis. Get a commitment for a $100,000 study and 5% of energy usage as a capital project to reduce it to meet this 5% target energy reduction. Have a kickoff meeting with your executive champion, plant operation manager, plant maintenance manager. Issue minutes, identify buy-ins by all people and what we're planning to do with the project. Analyze electric bills for a minimum of 12 months and prepare a plant energy summary and trend charts. And we talked in the course about how to do this and what they should look like when you're done. Start a plant energy balance diagram, and a generic plant energy diagram was shown. This should work for every plant there is. We've got electricity, natural gas, water, sunlight, and raw material going in. We've got tower flume, radiated heat, exhaust air, flue gas, cooling tower water, wastewater, solid waste, and product coming out. We have identified side issues that are of critical importance, maintenance labor, maintenance material, capital projects, turnaround projects. Inside the plant, we've looked at internal distribution of electricity, internal distribution of natural gas, internal distribution of water. We've looked at lighting, motors, air compressors and distribution, steam plant and distribution. 5. Start a list of large energy-using equipment, light fixture count and wattage, motor tags and nameplate horsepower, steam sources and uses in pounds per hour nameplate, compressed air sources and uses in SCFM, chilled water sources and uses in nameplate GPM. Start identifying and inspecting waste streams. Prepare the first work orders for specific fixture rework or replacement to reduce lighting energy 60 to 90%. Use data logging ammeter to record power usage and power factor on major equipment and major motor control centers. Prepare the first work order for replacing specific motors with extra high efficiency units. Prepare the first work order for installing fixed power factor capacitors on select motors and switched power factor capacitors on select motor control centers. Prepare a work order for ultrasonic survey of compressed air piping using fluorescent paint on a stick applicator. Prepare a work order for compressed air leaks. Initiate discussions with an engineering firm specializing in steam utilities regarding energy capture from flue gas and blowdown water streams. Prepare a work order for ultrasonic survey of steam piping and traps using a different color fluorescent paint on a stick applicator. Prepare the first work order to repair steam leaks and traps blowing by. Prepare a work order for a thermal survey of steam lines and traps and condensate return lines. Prepare the first work order for repair of removable insulation. Prepare the first work order for additional insulation on top of old or ripping off old and applying new. Prepare a work order for thermal survey of chilled water lines and valving. Prepare a work order for repair of removable insulation. Prepare the first work order for additional insulation on top of old or ripping off old and applying new. Continue tracking electric and natural gas bills. Celebrate and publicize savings achieved. Use unfavorable variation as an incentive to expedite the work orders already in place. And this concludes the audio versions of E281. Hope it's been of value to you and that I can work with you again on future projects. Thank you for joining me.